Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Amber May Show. I am glad you're here because I have a wonderful program for you today. Boone Cutler is joining me on this episode. He co-wrote the book Fifth Generation Warfare with General Michael Flynn. He is a veteran himself, and we dive into what fifth generation warfare looks like. And some of the stuff he's going to share with us is going to be shocking to you, I think. I know some of it was like, I knew they were collecting our information, obviously from social media, what we say on our smartphones, things like that, but it gets deeper, and where that information goes is really important for you to know. So that's on today's show. So please like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com, click the donate button, and donate whatever you feel you can donate. You can also be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. That's theambermayshow.locals.com. That really helps support the program so we can upgrade equipment, travel, whatever we need to do to make this show even better. That really is a fantastic tool for us. So thank you if you become an angel investor of the program. Much appreciated. Check in the links below because I have partnered with businesses to help save you money. And one of those businesses that I have partnered with is Hero Soap Company. They are a veteran-owned company, and every purchase that they make, a portion of that sale goes to help veterans and first responders. So we want to help the people that are protecting us and going on the front lines for you and die. So American-made product, the soap smells incredible, and it is all clean, natural product. So check it out. It's Hero Soap Company. Use promo code AmberMay at checkout. Well, without any further ado, let me tell you, I also am on Telegram. I add more content to Telegram, so join me there. I'm on Frank Social AmberMay, True Social AmberMay, and Clout Hub. So find me there. But without any further ado, I would love to introduce you to Boone Cutler. Told you, I have Boone Cutler joining us today. I'm so excited to dive into this topic. It's going to be a good one. I think most Americans need to hear what Boone has to say with the fifth generational war. But first of all, I have to say, Boone, thank you for your service. I know you're a veteran, so I want to thank you for serving all of us and trying to keep us safe on the homeland. So I appreciate that.
Well, there's a lot of us out there, and I've raised my cup to everybody who served and continues to serve this country.
And I also want to thank something we don't say too often is I want to thank, the guys who wear the brown and blue, here at the homeland, because, they are our front line of defense right here in our neighborhoods, keeping us safe. So if you wear a brown or blue uniform, I want to salute you as well. So I don't know what branch. Did you serve in the Army? Is that where you served?
Yeah, I served in the Army, yes.
Is that how you met General Flynn? Because I know you guys wrote this book together, The Fifth Generational Warfare. Is that where you met?
No, well, we overlapped a little bit in the military, but not with any direct contact. And then it was later that we kind of came together and kind of merged in this whole, minutia of influence, that's happening to our country and around the world. And that's how we really kind of came together, him from the intelligence perspective and me from the psychological operations perspective, and then just really kind of breaking down. It's an interesting story, how we decided to start writing the books, but it definitely came from that time and from the facet of being in the military.
Well, share that story with us. I think that'd be interesting to find out how the collaboration happened.
Well, it was pretty impromptu. It was very, very, very organic. It wasn't a planned thing at all. We were just standing in a hallway. He and I were standing in a hallway, and he was explaining, to myself and then a couple other people, and then the other people kind of fell off, and it was just he and I talking in a hallway. And he said, he says, I don't get it. I get off stage, and everybody is just so confused. There's so much confusion happening around our country that I'm constantly having to explain to people, what's happening. And so they're not so confused. And I thought that was interesting because, you know, I told him that I'm going through the same thing. And we had two totally different target audiences. For me, I've been in the veteran space and a veteran advocacy for a lot of years. And so I would get off stage, and because of my background, people, we just naturally kind of drift into this conversation. I think only because a lot of people around the country are talking about it, which is they just feel confused. They feel manipulated, whether it's media, whether it's propaganda, whether it's, you know, the internet, whether it's artificial intelligence. There's just this constant contrived information that is flowing to us and through us on a constant basis. And a lot of people are seeing their families torn apart. You know, one family member is getting a selected set of messaging and another family member is getting another thing. And then they start fighting within their family, literally based upon the stuff they see on the internet. And this is all part of that game, you know, the game of disruption, how to disrupt the populace. And so he and I were talking, and it became very evident that this level of confusion is very widespread. I mean, I could be talking to a gay Black female out of Chicago who's a liberal, and she's experiencing the same feelings and confusion than some corn-fed white boy in Alabama who's a conservative. Wow. And so people couldn't be more different, but are experiencing the same type of stuff. And so the conversation went on and on and on. We started talking about irregular warfare. We started talking about nonlinear warfare. We started talking about hybrid warfare, unrestricted warfare. And all of that stuff fits under that big umbrella of fifth generation warfare. And then from that point, it was like, okay, well, now that we've identified what people are looking at and the, where the that point of confusion is happening and how it's contrived, how do we get them trained? How do we get them trained so there's not confusion and people can start having conversations that's based on the same information? And then it came back to the military. You know, how do we do this in the military? We have an initial training, then we have advanced training, and then there are manuals that all this training is supported by. And so we decided we were going to write a military style manual specifically made for civilians that the average 19-year-old working at Home Depot could understand.
Well, that's really good. Now, you piqued my curiosity. You said something about when you were in the military, you dealt with psychological, what was it?
Operations.
Explain that to all of us lay people that have never been in the military. What does that mean? What does that look like?
Well, psychological operations could occur all the time. It's, you know, a lot of times they're conducted by governments. And the military as part of that government to go into different places and to change the mindset of a populace, to influence attitudes, to change behavior, to support an objective. That's really the nuts and bolts of it. How can you influence someone's attitude? Because attitudes lead to decisions. You know, you make your decisions based upon the information and the attitude you have about the information. So how do you reframe that and show people information and then also influence their attitude towards the information? And in turn, what spits out is a different behavior. And we want to do that type of stuff when we go into different countries, because we're not looking to just lay waste and kill everybody. We want to create change and affect change and do that in a non-violent way. And that's how you do that. You do that through psychological operations. It's about influence.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. I mean, so I'm sure that ties in with the fifth generational warfare. So people are going to ask me, I'm sure someone's asking, if this is what we're going to talk about is fifth, what's the first, what's the second, what's the third? So where does this warfare start? I imagine it started with swords. I mean,
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it did. You're exactly right. It was pre-gunpowder. First generation warfare was pre-gunpowder. And there's been psychological operations throughout all generations of war. If you look back, for those who have seen the movie Braveheart, you know, you see the lead character played by Mel Gibson, he paints himself blue and he gets all riled up, you know, okay, that's influencing attitudes. That's motivating a group of people to go into battle and they're using symbols, that symbol of painting themselves blue, and that strikes an emotion, and that emotional cord makes people ready to go and to do battle and so on and so forth. So psychological operations really in some small way has been a part of all generations of war. But in the fifth generation of war, it is not something that is supporting or ancillary to the main effort. It is many times the main effort itself. And it's in the cognitive battle space. That's what we say. It's in the cognitive battle space. So first generation of war was pre-gunpowder. Second generation of war was post-gunpowder. And then with every technological change, the society has, that the world has, that presents the next generation of war. And so now we've moved up to that fifth generation of war, where we're talking specifically about influence. We're talking about irregular warfare, nonlinear warfare, hybrid warfare, unrestricted warfare, all these things. They have a nexus point, and that's here in that fifth generation of warfare, which is about controlling populaces, control the populace that changes the government, which then in turn supports a foreign adversary.
And so this is a warfare no one is going to see with their eyes, per se, because it's not like a kinetic war like we're seeing with Israel and Hamas. So this is really a sly way of taking over a nation, a people, a generation, because they're not going to see it with their eyes coming. What I'm understanding from you is this is subtle. We're in the middle of it right now. And like, how long has it been going on? Has it been going on like for 100 years, 50 years? Like, how long do you think this has been going on, this fifth generation warfare?
Well, it changes, right? You know, this technological platform where people have access, you know, it really started changing into this fifth generation of warfare as access to foreign people, foreign governments, populations, citizenry has become more available. Like in the old days, you know, we used to have to go into a country, right, by some way, you know, get into the country, identify a key communicator, identify a media source, identify different levers of power and how we can manipulate and influence them, and then work with inside that society by actually being there. Well, in today's world, you don't have to actually be there. You can just launch stuff through an internet connection, through social media, through newspapers that are influenced from an external source. You know, from you know, politicians that can be influenced, you know, from a foreign power into a domestic situation. So this is really how it happens. And so what was the drop dead date that fifth generation warfare started? I really can't tell you, because there's overlap, right? Within each generation, there's overlap, just like people. And the generations of war are much like people. If you think about boomers, Gen Xers, Gen Zers, all of these, you know, you can see generations of people, but there's overlap. You know, if you're in boomers and then you're looking at Gen X, there's overlap. Some are still alive, some are becoming adults. So it's the same type of thing. But this really started happening with this fifth generation warfare when we started to be able to get access to other populations, other target audiences of foreign countries, of foreign nations, and people, specifically groups and people within those countries. When we started getting access from an external point of view or perspective.
Wow. Now, does this fifth generation warfare also penetrate the school systems, or are you just talking strictly like technology?
Well, of course it penetrates the school systems, because you always want to, you know, one of our primary target audiences in Iraq when I was conducting psychological operations was the children. You know, you want to train that next generation of people that are growing up to give them competing influence to what they're normally aware of, because you're trying to change the culture. So it's very, very common to have children or young people as part of that, as part of a target audience that you're going to target because you're trying to create change for the future.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. So when I'm walking around my house, I always wear slippers. It's just what I do. And in the wintertime, it's especially needed because it's super cold. And I don't know about you, but bare feet on cold floor just isn't my groove. So let me show you what I do on a regular basis. Okay, so I always buy myself slippers every single Christmas. It's just what I do. And so I got these MyPillow slippers, and they are super comfortable. I am not going anywhere else. From now on, I'm going to get all my slippers from mypillow.com/Amber. And you can save right now, get the lowest price on slippers and save 40% right now. So you can get yourself some if you want something for Christmas, or you have someone in your family that you want to buy for. So make sure you go to mypillow.com/Amber. Use promo code Amber, save up to 66% off, and get these slippers at the lowest price ever. They're super comfortable, super comfortable.
Hey, I'm Christina Bob, and you are listening to The Amber May Show.
So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AmberMay. You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress. I see. Wow. So where does this progress? So we have technology with our smartphones. I'm all the social media apps are definitely part of this fifth generation warfare. The media has been taken over, so I'm sure that's part of this fifth generation warfare. What else is encompassed in this type of warfare?
Well, you've got economic warfare, you've got propaganda, you've got psychological operations, you've got lawfare. I don't know, I think I said political warfare. You know, it all works together. It's how to influence conditions. How do you change conditions to make people influence to change the behavior? And you do it legally, you do it economically, you do it politically, you do it through propaganda, you do it through psychological operations. They all kind of work together. There's something called a PSYACT. A psychological action that supports a psychological operations plan. All these things work together.
And can you give us an example of that? What does that look like?
What does the PSYACT look like?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it can be contrived. It can just be something that you make happen or make it appear to happen a certain way. And sometimes it's something that's literal, but it gets framed a certain way. And once it gets framed a certain way, that's a psychological action. And if you can take something that naturally occurs, that legitimately occurred, but put a certain spin on it to inflame a group of people, and then from that inflaming of one group of people, then you make another group of people very defensive of that, now you get infighting. And it all starts from one psychological action. And there are different types of people there are different types of players within psychological actions. So, you know, there are discretionary players that are there under a certain context, and there are different contexts. And I would love to be able to, I mean, believe me, if General Flynn and I could have explained this kind of stuff in less than 25,000 words, we would have done it. And there's no meme that's going to get everything through. And I think podcasts are great. I think shows are great, but man, there's nothing better than being able to sit down and really see, you know, all the steps and all the pieces so you can put it together for your own mind. And the beautiful thing about these military style manuals written for civilians is at the end of each chapter, there's test questions to get you oriented, to make sure you're absorbing the information. And then it's also setting up what's coming next in the next chapter. So by the time you get through the whole thing, you've really been educated, like truly educated on what's happening, how it happens, who's doing it, why they're doing it, and what their goals and objectives are.
One thing that comes to mind as you're speaking is when we have these rich elitists in DC telling people that are white, that there's white privilege, that white privilege exists. That's an idea that comes to mind. Is that something like you're talking about as an example of what you're saying? Like,
does it meet the criteria? Does it influence an attitude that changes a behavior?
I would think so, because if you're not white, then you're probably thinking, I am being treated differently because I am not white, so therefore I don't have privilege, which would make me angry towards white people because supposedly they have privilege and I don't.
I think you're starting to get it, yes.
Even though I don't feel like I have white privilege, my life is just as hard as anyone else next to me. I mean,
yeah, and you got to flip it around too, though, right? You got to flip it around because there's other groups out there who feel like they've been disaffected, they've been ostracized, and those groups are very susceptible in a different way than the whites are susceptible in a different way. And then you have to ask yourself, okay, is this organic or is this something that's astroturfed? And that's an important thing. You know, you have to understand what astroturfing is. And we've written two sessions, two books regarding, this is a series. The Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Worker is a series. Okay. And in session one of the series, we talk about the overview. We talk about the operations, how those operations occur, what the factors of those operations are. And in session two, when we talk about how to fight artificial intelligence, which is extremely important right now, it's more important than what a lot of people are looking at, I assure you, because there's something called AI-driven psychological programming. And this AI-driven psychological programming is something that you're truly being exposed to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as long as you're looking at a screen, if you're typing on a screen, if you're reading the screen, if you're looking at a video on a screen, everything. If the screen is following you around and knowing where you're going, what you're doing, who you're interacting with, all this stuff gets compiled into data sets. These data sets get curated in China, and then China uses them to train AI systems to manipulate humans.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was that deep.
That deep.
I know my smartphone, I will have a conversation about a product, and then suddenly on my smartphone, that product is everywhere. Like that I know happens, but I didn't know that. Yes, I know through social media, they're collecting a lot of information. I just didn't know it was getting funneled to China into their artificial intelligence. That part I wasn't familiar with, that they're... So what's
they're absolutely the largest curator of information for training artificial intelligence systems to manipulate the rest of the world. Absolutely the largest curator. But you know, let's take it back to what you said, because I think a lot of people have experienced the same thing. They're driving with their spouse in the car, and their spouse says, you know, we really need to get laundry detergent. By the time you park the car at the house, your spouse looks at the phone and says, hey, look, I got an ad for laundry detergent. You know, how does that happen? You know, these are AI systems. These are listening devices. They're called listening dashboards. They're on your phone, and everybody's affected by it. And here's my big question. If you think they're paying attention to you so they can sell products and put something in front of you to influence your actions with a product, what else are they putting in front of you to influence your actions in other ways? Because this is really the game. This is what happens. Mm-hmm. My wife and I were talking... This was yesterday morning, as a matter of fact, because we talk about these things. I'm always on shows talking about this stuff, written books about it. So it's kind of in our consciousness. So it becomes much, we have a lot more awareness about it. And I think after watching your show today, people are also going to have that awareness, but you got to get trained, because it's not, this is not something we can just discuss in a podcast and you really get it and understand and know what to do and how to stop it. But at the end of the day, yesterday, my wife and I were talking, I'm just about to leave the house. And she says, hey, make sure have you eaten? I said, no, I'll eat lunch. I'm not going to eat breakfast. She said, well, there's some potatoes in there. So if you want to grab those, they'll fill you up. There's not a lot of calories, and because that's an important thing to me. And I said, no, I'm not going to get it. And I said, by the way, you know, look at some stuff, because we're remodeling our bathroom. So we're talking about remodeling the bathroom. So those two parts of a conversation happened within a 5-minute period. Potatoes, eating potatoes, and remodeling the bathroom. Literally, as I'm leaving the house, she says, hey, look at this. I look at her phone. She's on a social media app, and she starts getting sponsored ads. And the two sponsored ads that came up right after our conversation was recipes for potatoes and suggestions for remodeling a bathroom.
That's kind of creepy when you really think about it. I mean,
it's very creepy, and it's attached to what you're seeing on your television as well, because all these things are interactive. It's like when you look at, you know, recommended shows, when you're scrolling through that doom scrolling through your television, those recommended shows are recommended because a listening system is listening to what's going on with you, and not just listening, you know, to your auditory statements, but also reading all of your emails, reading all of your texts, paying attention to all your phone calls, paying attention to what you say in front of it, paying attention to whose phone is around you. All these things go into those data systems to make
sure. Seriously, like my phone calls, my text messages, my emails, all of that.
Every single thing.
And is it all going to China? All of this is going to China for their artificial intelligence?
Absolutely, all of it. And other places as well.
Like social media?
No, like the, like governments, like state actors, non-state actors, NGOs, all working together to create this influence around the world. You know, there's something out there I think everybody here should go watch. It's called The AI Dilemma. It's
a small video.
Mm-hmm. You should absolutely write that down. It's very good. It's very short. It's less than an hour, I think. It's called AI Dilemma. And it's a very updated version of all the things that artificial intelligence can do. And they're getting very deep right now. We're starting to see something called AI intimacy. And AI intimacy is where each person is getting their own AI system. Now, what's that based upon? It's based upon not your demographic, but your psychographic, how you think, what you like, what your, where your vulnerabilities are, what your susceptibilities are. And that AI system is with you. It's on your phone that you can talk to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's literally reverse engineered through every click, like, and share that you've ever done, every comment you've ever made. It knows you better than your priest, your pastor, your spouse, your parents, your brother, your sister, any family member, your best friend, because it hears all your secrets. It knows every search you do on the internet. It knows everything that you want to learn about. It knows everything you're interested in. And it just gets reverse engineered and becomes your personal AI system that you can talk to and that knows you and can give you advice and can console you. You know, you can even sexy it up, make it look like a real pretty girl or a good looking guy, whatever it is. This is called AI intimacy. And the reason for that is they want to start nudging people towards one new world order system, which they will accept. Well, how do you get people to every person to accept it? Well, you have to influence them in very, very specific, individualized and personalized ways. And this is how you get the world focused on a world global communist system.
That is insane. And that's how you usher people also probably into the smart cities, the 15-minute cities, which will be nothing but artificial intelligence everywhere where you live. And, you know, to your point about conditioning us, I was at a Arizona State University game, and I used to be a season ticket holder there where I used to actually have a paper ticket. And when we went this last time, everybody had their ticket on their phone. I don't know. I was a guest of somebody, so I don't know that they ever gave out official tickets like they used to. But everyone was like cling, 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 scanning it on their phone. Yeah, that's a little thing right now. I know we're used to that at the airport. You can print out your ticket or you can have your ticket on your phone. And I know that's really small potatoes compared to what you're talking about. But I think that's part of also conditioning, because it's going to be a point in time where you can't have anything paper. Everything's going to be electronic. And that's another way to be tracked and traced that way.
Well, and what's a reason, what's an effect of that is you're going to always have to have your phone on you, because that's everything right. You need is there. So if you're traveling with it, if it's signaling, it's not just about tracking, it's about where you are and with whom are you there. And these are all part of, you know, it's all part of the operation.
And I don't know, is there a way we can come backwards from that? Because you're right, this world is turned to where everything is on this phone, and I need it for everything. I need it for my tickets, like we just talked about. I just need it for my GPS. I need it for everything. So is there a way that us as people can come back? Like, for instance, debit cards is another thing. They have trained us so well that we just need debit cards for everything. And the central bank digital currency is right around the corner, because they've already programmed us for digital money instead of us carrying paper money. I'm trying so hard to go to the bank more and grab paper money, because I just think, man, that's one step back that we could take, a little bit of power back, where they're not going to watch everything we do. Because once it's completely digitalized money, I mean, talk about the control they're going to have over you and I. What are your thoughts about that?
You're absolutely right, but they can do it now too. I mean, sure. If you look at what happened in Canada, you know, when they had the big trucker, you know, things, what did Trudeau do? He shut down everybody's bank account. You know, and that wasn't a digital currency. They just identified who was there, what companies were there, and said, okay, now you can't conduct commerce. You can't buy things. You can't do things. And that to break that up. Well, it just gets that much easier when it's a digital currency, because then you can't go to the bank and just pull cash out and pay somebody cash. Everything is literally on that ledger. So this is a thing. And yes, there is a way around that. And that's why we wrote the second book. It's session 2. how to fight artificial intelligence, because it's very laid out there. One, how you can get information that's not going to be contrived. Two, how you can protect your family, how you can protect your state, and how you can protect your country, and who the adversaries are that are conducting all these operations. So the combination of session one and session two, and there will be a session three and a session four, so on and so forth, we're going to continue to put these military style manuals out written for civilians. So it keeps them oriented to their environment and they can navigate it. So everything you get here is not a scare thing. It's not like, oh, okay, look at the big bad wolf here. It's hey, this is the big bad wolf, and this is how you deal with them, and this is what you need to do to prepare yourself in order to deal with it. So there's solutions, there's answers. It's not just problems. It's that's why it's so good as a manual. It actually helps you and your family.
Wow, that's really incredible. I mean, wow, some of the things you said, just like I guess it just never really hit me how deep the tracking, tracing, so they know everything about me. Because you know what?
Keep in mind, it's not just about knowing everything about you. It's about knowing everything about you so it can be used to manipulate you.
Right.
What's the end game? It's not about stealing your social security number and knowing your bank account so they can steal your identity. That's small potatoes. That's you know, that's something a local crime syndicate would do. That's not something governments are necessarily so involved in. What they're interested in is how they can manipulate, how they can influence your attitude to change your behavior or to change the way you think completely, which is the difference between psychological operation and what's doing with the psychological programming that AI does. PSYOP, psychological operations, is about influencing attitudes to change behavior. Psychological programming is about changing the entire framework of how you think.
And this isn't just to the United States. This is a global thing. Like, this has hit every nation across the world, correct? This is not just America. This is everyone, right?
It's every place they have access to you.
Okay. Now, you also talked about in the beginning with the different generational warfares about nations and how, you know, you went to a nation and then you met with people at the nation to influence that particular set of people. There's more to it than just that these days. You have non-governmental operations. You have non-governmental agencies. Can you talk to us about how it goes beyond just our government?
You're right. Everything that governments can do, companies can do, corporations can do, individual people with a lot of money and a lot of access can also conduct. So it's kind of been taken off book between nation and nation. You know, you have major, major players out there, very, very rich, very wealthy people and corporations. They're conducting a lot of the same operations. They're the ones. Let's talk about a corporatocracy. What is a corporatocracy? A corporatocracy is when corporations influence a government. Now, what happens if those corporations that are influencing a government are foreign-born corporations? Now you have a foreign entity that is influencing your government through the corporate sector.
Wow. I mean, we're seeing that play out right now in Washington, D.C., because there was a financial investigator, I think is how I remember the story, in a bank in 2017, and they found a large deposit from China, from a corporation in China, into Hunter, I think it's Hunter Biden, maybe it was Joe Biden's bank account. And now there's going to be a hearing in D.C. about that, because that is huge. There was no goods or services exchange to get that large sum of money. So that totally goes with what you're saying right now about a foreign entity or company interfering with a governmental influencers or people in power. It blows my mind, because I love America and I love living in this nation. I love that we have a constitution. I love that the premise of our country is that we, the people, run the country and not the government. They're just there to do the bidding and the will of the people, and that we do have rights given to us by God. I love that about our country. And it blows my mind that people will just sell this whole country out and this world out for power and money. And it shouldn't. I shouldn't be so surprised, but I turn around, I'm like, how do you sit in government and are okay with taking all this money to betray this this country that you were in charge with protecting?
The people still have the power. They just don't know it, and they don't know how to leverage it. You know, social capital equals political influence. That means the people. The people influence the politics, but they're not taking an active role. And so that's being left to corporations. And if you look at these foreign-born corporations, if you look at, like, say, pronouns, how pronouns are a big thing in the United States and around the world, that didn't come in through the government. That came in through the corporations. Look at BlackRock. BlackRock and all the companies they controlled started pushing that stuff in different places. So now how did that influence attitudes to change behavior? That didn't come from the government. Again, you know, yes, there was some buy-in from universities and government agencies, but it really started through the corporations. You know, the corporations were influencing the smaller corporations, you know, the multinational corporations influencing national corporations, which are influencing the government, which are influencing universities, so on and so forth. So when we talk about that foreign-born corporatocracy, the foreign-born influence of corporations, it's very widespread. It's very widespread. But the people can still gain control. And I think that's what's going to happen. But first, if they don't know what they're looking at, they don't know how, right, they can't make decisions. So we've got to get really smart on what we are looking at. And then we have to have a plan on how to deal with it.
And would you say the whole COVID vaccine thing was a corporosity? Was that an example of that, where you couldn't work unless you got the shot, where, like, your employer was making you get the shot or you were going to get fired? Is that an example of that, or is that something completely different?
I think there's levels, right? I think there's... I think it's support, you know, different things get supported in different ways. And yes, I understand what you're saying about with the corporatocracy supporting that, but let's look at it from a different angle that I just want to bring people's attention to. And it's called bribes at will. Okay. What is a bribe at will? You know, in the old days, you know, you used to see in the movies that, you know, somewhat a lobbyist or a person or a person would meet with a politician and pass them this manila envelope full of money, you know, so to get their vote on in a certain way. We don't have to do that anymore. You know, your politician just has to understand that there's going to be a vote by some way, either a lobbyist or a friend or someone tells me, hey, you know, we've got a bill, we're going to vote on it. They're going to look and see who's affected. They're going to see how the stock is going to change. So say there's it looks like we're going to vote and we're going to go to war. Well, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to see a group of people who are going to say, how much money can I make on stocks that have to do with companies that are going to produce products or services to fight a war? And then they buy those stocks and they make the vote and the stock goes way up. And that's how they make a ton of money. And these are bribes at will. You can bribe yourself as a legislator in today's world. You can bribe yourself every time you just see what stocks are going to be affected. And then you decide how you're going to make your vote.
Isn't that supposed to be like insider trading when they're not supposed to do that, but yet they do it all the time? And how does the military industrial complex fit into this whole thing?
Well, and what you were saying about before, you know, isn't there a thing about insider trading? I think there's a lot of ways that people get around these things. Otherwise, how do you see someone, or even just basic investments, you know, how do you see someone show up in DC wearing a Timex and then 2 years later they're wearing a Rolex? You know,
exactly.
How does this happen on the pay they're making? This is one of the ways these things happen. And that's why term limits and repealing the 17th and all these things are very, very important. We got to break up that game. But, you know, you just asked me another question. I forgot. Remind me what you were saying. How does what play into it?
Oh, the military-industrial complex play into this whole thing. Because ever since I've been alive, we have been in war. With Ronald Reagan, we ended the Cold War when I was alive. I remember I was watching on TV the Berlin Wall falling down. I remember that. But right after him was George Bush. And we went right into Desert Storm. And then right after him was Clinton, and we were in Bosnia. And then right after him, we went back to the Middle East. And then with Obama, we were in Ukraine, but we're also back in the Middle East. And now look at us. We've been in Ukraine with Biden. With Donald Trump, we were actually not in, like, war per se. He wanted to get our troops out. of the Middle East. So his goal was to like not be in war right now, right? But then as soon as they interfered with the election, which is, I bet, a lot of what you're saying, the interference of the election with changing and influencing our mind through the AI and the screens and everything, I bet that played a big part of election interference. But now we're back in Ukraine and we had the Ukraine war. And now that we're like realizing there's money being exchanged because of the war, now there's the Israel war. Like, there's never been a time in my life when we haven't been in war. Is that because there's people, whether they're non-governmental agencies or people in government, making a ton of money on war? So it doesn't matter. They're always going to create a war so that there always has money coming in. Is this something that is reality, or is it just something like I'm kind of making up, or like?
It's not my quote. I think it's Plato said, you know, only the dead have seen the end of war. And that's true. And so it's not just that you've only seen war during your lifetime. That's everybody's lifetime. You know, war is a constant thing. War is a human condition. And it'll continue to happen. And there's times that has to happen. It should happen. War clarifies things. That's the biggest thing it does, is it clarifies things. But if you're having a war solely for the sake not to seize an objective and then move on and conquer and clarify things, if it's there just to produce to raise stocks, these endless wars that really have no conclusion. I mean, if you look at what happened in Afghanistan, you look at what happened in Iraq, there really was no conclusion. It was just like, okay, we're going to leave now. And specifically, if you look at Iraq, you're like, okay, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. Well, we ignored the political warfare to some degree. You know, here we are slugging it out in the streets. And what is Iran doing? Iran's making sure that they can get certain people elected into the Iraqi government. Mm-hmm. So the Iraqi government in and of itself can say, we want the Americans to leave. There's no more SOFA agreement. Get out of our country. So they work the political angle. And most things do work towards a political resolve. You know, war is politics by other means. So all these things do come into factor. And it's not just the military industrial complex. It's the medical industrial complex. It's the education industrial complex. You know, these are all industries that make money in a certain way. And they're all going to continue to do that because that's what humans do. What we need to do is the common focus to make sure that we can control our borders, make sure we can raise our own kids, make sure we have freedom of speech, all of our Bill of Rights, make sure that we can vote and the vote is legitimate and we have fair elections. That's how we maintain our control as people, so we aren't abused by these various industrial complexes that are going to continue to exist.
Is the open borders part of the fifth generation warfare, or is that something just different all in of itself?
It's absolutely part of it. And we addressed that in session one. You know, the different things that if you really want to look at how fifth generation warfare is being affected inside the United States, you got to look at the different things that are happening. You know, you got medical freedom, you've got the Bill of Rights, you've got the border, you've got elections, all these things. Really, the breakdown of these things, or the misdirection or change direction and all these things, you have to look and see, okay, who is that? Who's benefiting from that? Is it mm-hmm. is it the U.S. citizen? No, it's not the U.S. citizen. Mm-hmm. Is it the parents? No, it's not the citizens. It's not the parents. It's not the, you know, the average everyday Joel and Jolene that are out there working their 40 plus hours a week. You know, who's benefiting from it? It's usually a foreign power. It's a foreign entity. It's one of our adversaries. And it's one of our adversaries that has subjugated some sort of corporation or some sort of politician to make sure that they are doing the bidding for the foreign adversary rather than doing what they should be doing for the American people.
Again, like you say that, and you're right on the money. And I just, it's so hard for me, like God-loving American person, that, you know, it's so hard for me to believe that there are people that decided that they are going to help foreign adversaries to help take over our country. It's where you see China buying farmland so they can control the food supply or the supply chains here in the United States, or buying land right next to the military, or, you know, our government allowing these balloons to fly across the United States with no issue, or our government allowing military aged men to flood our nation with fentanyl that is killing us by the thousands every single day, with the child trafficking and the gun trafficking and all the trafficking. Like, They don't want us to have our Second Amendment right, but they are okay with these people coming into our nation that are bringing these guns in. And what do you think they're going to do with it? Gun violence in our country? I mean,
hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Hey friends, I want to tell you what I recently did. I broke away from the big three. I was tired of the woke mobile, and I wanted to go to a Christian conservative company that I could trust that support the organizations that I value, and that is Patriot Mobile. So when you go to patriotmobile.com/Amber, you are going to get free activation. It is super easy to get started to switch from the big three to Patriot Mobile. They'll walk you step by step. It is not difficult at all. And I've had tremendous service since I made the switch. So I recommend if you want to vote with your wallet and support a company that supports your values, go to patriotmobile.com/Amber and save on a free activation. So that's patriotmobile.com/Amber. Now the links are in the description below or on my website at theambermayshow.com/promo. So check that out. So it's time to vote with our wallet, ditch the woke mobile, and go to a Christian conservative mobile. And that is patriotmobile.com/Amber.
Hi, this is Vem Miller from the Blood Money Podcast. I'm here to say don't ever miss an episode of the wonderful Amber May Podcast.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
When you have a large group of disaffected people that come into a country and they're not there by legal status, how are they going to work? How are they going to get money? How are they going to take care of their families? How are they going to take care of their needs? You know, inherently, traditionally, they usually fall into some sort of crime network, and mm-hmm. the crime networks do different things. So there, you know, take any slice of the population that's recently come up through our southern border, and sometimes our northern border, or any one of our coasts. You know, if there's a million, okay, 1% of a million that falls into the crime syndicates, you know, how much damage can that cause to the American society? How much mm-hmm. damage can be caused? Because now they're being pushed to all the different major cities where there's already a lot of disarray. There's already not enough jobs. There's already not enough money. There's already problems. There's already problems with violence. And they're going to be absorbed into those environments. Now, this will work itself out over time. But in the meantime, you know, if it's not given the chance to work itself out over time because there's an objective for all these things occurring, then where do we stand then? Mm-hmm. And at what point in time do we say, okay, not only are we saying stop, but we're also saying we've got to change this system. And the system is not just about immigration. It's about our government. And, mm-hmm. and it's about how our government acts in totality. It's not about how our government treats a corporation or a foreign power. It's, are they taking care of the American people? And if they're not taking care of the American people, okay, what conditions, not people, but what conditions need to change to ensure that they're always simply focused on the American people, not this global perspective mm-hmm. saying that, you know, we want to be part of this global thing. Because anytime you centralize power, you centralize money, you know, you centralize militaries, now you've got something that can be controlled by one very rich king. And this becomes a problem. If you're looking at the continued process after fifth generation warfare, we get into sixth generation warfare, which some would say we're already there. It just hasn't really, you know, taken hold. It hasn't quite got there as widespread to be able to control everything. But in sixth generation warfare, if we don't get our stuff squared away now, we get deep into sixth and we're not squared away, well, ultimately the world would be run by one very rich, godless king through artificial intelligence, AI-driven Whoa. Psychological programming, and autonomous drones. And autonomous drones, that's already happening in different countries. Now, it's probably mm-hmm. easy to accept the fact that in China, they have these cameras on every street corner and they watch behavior and they watch facial mm-hmm. expressions and they can tell your ethnicity by the same camera. So if they see a person with a certain ethnicity, a certain behavior, body movements, certain facial expressions, they'll actually send people to arrest those people. Okay, based upon what an AI system said, based upon what a camera saw. Okay, now that's totally totalitarian. That's the worst of the worst, right? Well, you think that's pretty crazy, but yeah, it's happening in China. You kind of expect the CCP to do things like that, but mm-hmm. it's not just happening there. They're doing the same thing in Brazil. Now we start looking around going, wait a minute, Brazil? But yeah, it's happening in Brazil too. You can read about it in session two. It's happening in other places around the world.
Like
too.
London has cameras like that on every street corner as well. London does. And you're right. It's going to get to a point. You're absolutely right, Boone. It's going to get to a point where they're going to take artificial intelligence word, even if it's not true, over our word. And on what show was it? It was 60 Minutes, I think. They did a segment, a whole show, actually, on artificial intelligence. And on that show, they admitted that their AI lies, that can lie, that has the ability to lie. So it's in the sixth generational warfare. I could see it getting to a point where it doesn't matter. And in this show on Amazon called Upload, everyone was, the guy got in a car accident because he had a self-driving car. Well, the self-driving car should never, in this show, should never be able to be in an accident. It should always be aware and always be able to prevent the accident. Well, someone hacked into the car so that could kill the guy inside the car, right? And so everyone's like, but he was in a car. How did he die in the car accident? Like, it just blows their mind because AI is like the be-all, end-all. And whatever AI says is what it is. And I think we're going to get to that point if we don't stop it now with your book and your sessions with General Flynn, that if we don't realize what they're doing to manipulate our mind, we will be like that show where we're going to be like, no, AI said it, so it has to be true.
And we do a good job of showing, of giving people different perspectives of AI. Like AI can do some really amazing things.
Yes,
it can identify cancer long before a human will ever see it. You know, one guy, if you watch that show on YouTube, it's called AI Dilemma. Everybody really needs to watch that. And then they need to get our books because then you understand how to contend with this issue. You know, there's AI programs, large language models and different things that they're doing right now, where they're deciphering the language of whales. I mean, I want to talk to whales. I think that's pretty cool. You know what I mean? There's a lot that can be gained by this type of stuff. It's interesting. That's good stuff. But when we talk about AI-driven psychological programming, where people are literally controlling the populace based upon the information that they're forcing down their throat and tweaking emotions and tweaking vulnerabilities and leveraging things like fear and greed and lust and, you know, all these things, that's a different game. That's not trying to save people, you know, from identifying cancer. That's really true manipulation. That's how you start controlling a populace. And you talked about the 15-minute cities. I'll tell everybody right now, a 15-minute city is nothing more than today's concentration camp. You know, that's a Warsaw ghetto waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. And so we really need to look at these things and understand the environment that we're in and understand who's controlling this environment, what their goals and objectives are, because we really do have the power. But we need to understand our situation. We need to organize and we need to work as a team because it is about us and them. And the us is the average everyday person. The them are the globalist elites and the different governments that are trying to take over the entire world. Look at BRICS. BRICS is growing tremendously every single day. Look who's in charge of BRICS. What do you think their goals and objectives are for the very near future? Right. We are a part of this and we have to wake up and accept it. This is fifth generation warfare moving right into sixth generation warfare. And if BRICS continues to expand the way that it is, we go from fifth to sixth. And guess who's in charge of the world? Not us, not you, not me, not the people who want to see freedom and liberty, the people who want to see communism and control. And how are they going to do it? They're going to do it with artificial intelligence, and they're going to start in the fifth generation of war to push it to the sixth generation.
I'm glad you said that about AI, because you're right. It is a tool, just like a gun is a tool. A gun doesn't kill you. People kill you, right? Or it could save you. It could go either way. If a bad guy is coming into your home, it could save your life. Or if you want to be a terrible person and you want to murder someone, okay, in that case, it's not good because that tool was used in a bad way. So AI is a tool just like any other tool. It could be used for good. It could be used for bad. And I'm glad you said that because I agree with that 100%. And just to
Here's the bigger problem, though.
Yeah.
A gun can't make more guns.
True.
Right?
That's true.
A nuclear weapon can't make more nuclear weapons. But artificial intelligence can make more artificial intelligence.
Ooh.
And And I encourage everybody, people are like, oh no, blah, 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 blah. And then I have to ask, do you have the updated information? Do you think technology changes? Go watch AI Dilemma. You're going to see something in there called Gullum class AIs. It's very important to learn what that is. It's very important to understand what artificial general intelligence is, or general artificial intelligence is, and how that affects things as well, because now you've got AI systems building and running AI systems. And the human didn't tell it to do it. And this is real. And you're gonna see how AI is turning Wi-Fi signal into sonar. You're gonna see how AI systems are, you know, they can monitor, they can read it. You're gonna see it. There's actually imaging that can, based upon looking at a photograph or a picture, you can think of something, and the AI systems are turning your thoughts into a language it can read, therefore it can read your mind. These things are really happening. You gotta get caught up in the latest information, and this is how you start to get yourself involved and motivated, because it really is a situation, and it's happening right now, and you're a part of it whether you want to or not. And if you think it's not causing you personal pain yet, so you're not gonna get involved, it's only a matter of time before it does cause you personal pain, before you lose people in your family because they've spun off on some ideology you didn't even know existed, before, you know, one of your other kids gets trafficked, before your spouse, you know, comes up with a thousand reasons why they don't like you, and you don't even know where that came from. You know, this is the stuff that happens. This is disruption of society.
You know what comes to mind when you say that is from Terminator Skynet, and how Skynet took over all of the AI, and it was humans against the machine. I mean, and in China, they do have I think it's called artificial intelligence in China, called Skynet. I know they have a Skynet program, or a program there that they call Skynet. I'm like, oh my gosh. It's almost like they knew this ahead of time. And so they have Hollywood make it sound like it's just this really creative sci-fi story. But I feel like it's part of the conditioning so that we accept
It works both ways. You have a class of people that are the dreamers, the writers, the creative types, as General Flynn would say, and then you have people that are the technical types, where, you know, you create something that is just fantasy, and then you've got very intelligent people go, I can make that real. Ooh. You know, and so it works both ways. You know, is Hollywood telling us what's going to happen? Or is Hollywood just a very creative medium, and there's a smart people out there going, you know what, those creative people have given me something to shoot towards to create something. You know, I mean, you saw flying machines. Okay. People were talking about flying machines long before anybody figured out how to do it. I don't think they were predicting it. I think it was something in people's minds. It was creative. And then people were born and conditioned, and they learned it, and technology changed over time. And they said, hey, I think I can make that. Well, now what happens when you have a super brain? What happens when you start mixing artificial intelligence with quantum computing?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
See that's where we're going and how fast we get there.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I have really enjoyed this conversation, Boone, and you know so much about artificial intelligence, and it's scary but exciting and all encompassing all in one. And I'm glad we had this conversation. How do people get a hold of your books? Because I think it's really important that we all get in touch with those books to figure out how we fight back against this fifth generational warfare so we don't get to sixth generation.
Well, you can get the books anywhere books are sold online, or you can go to generalflynn.com. And purchase the books and a host of other things there too. So, you know, anywhere books are sold online, you can get it. You can have it delivered before Christmas. Make sure you get a few of them, because your family members, you're going to make sure they have the same information, because if they don't have the same information, you can't have the same conversation, and then nobody learns anything. There's no discussion that can be had. So really, this is a tool. This is a communication device for each of us to learn the information so we can start talking and really coming down to some sensible solutions for things, because otherwise one person's talking about this aspect and the first time, and then we're not connecting. So we got to get on the same sheet of music so we can work as a team to come through some real solutions.
Well, thank you so much, Boone, for carving out time to join us today on the show. I appreciate you.
I very much appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at the Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on the Amber May Show.